Hello, and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable management research and how this research can enhance your effectiveness as a manager in your organization. I'm Mirella Hernandez, an assistant professor of management and organization in the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. On today's podcast, we talk with Subra Tangarala of the Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland. We discuss a paper he recently published in Personnel Psychology about what causes employee silence in organizations. Hi, Subra. Welcome to Under New Management.
Hi, Mirella. Good to be here.
Great. Well, we're very interested in learning more about employee silence. How did you become interested in doing that type of research?
Before I started my PhD, I was working for several years as an HR manager back in India. And when I was working, I was often surprised by the amount of information that employees seem to hold back from their managers and coworkers. Information that might often help dramatically improve decision-making in their work units. Direct exposure to this kind of phenomenon made me interested in examining what causes employees to remain silent at work. And I carried this interest into my PhD. And when I started my PhD, I was working with Ranga Ramanujam. And he was working for several years trying to understand the causes and consequences of human errors in hospitals. These errors are those preventable mistakes by physicians or other medical staff when treating patients in hospitals. And during our conversations, we realized that there's emerging evidence that silence of frontline medical personnel, such as nurses, was possibly one of the reasons why hospitals have not been effective in reducing medical errors. That is, nurses who are often cognizant of unsafe conditions in hospitals are not willing to speak up. And we thought that this might be an interesting phenomenon to study given our mutual interest in the topic, and we embarked on this project.
And what other types of effects do you see employee silence having within the organization? You mentioned hospitals. Do we see this in other types of organizations?
We do, actually. Employee silence is often said to be detrimental both to organizations and to employees, and various kinds of organizations are often affected by this. For instance, to give you a couple of examples, engineers in NASA are said to have withheld a lot of their concerns about problems on the Columbia space shuttle a few years back. And these concerns actually later turned out to be tragically justified when the shuttle disintegrated on reentry into the Earth's atmosphere. Similar kinds of examples are found elsewhere also. For instance, people say that prolonged silence of scientists at Merck about potential adverse impacts of the drug Vioxx might have actually led to costly delay in its recall from the market. So there are various examples like that one can really reel off at the top of our mind. But apart from that, employee silence also is said to affect personal well-being of the employees, because people who intentionally suppress critical communication at work feel guilty and often feel increased stress and experience psychological and physiological problems. And they often also find it difficult to cope with organizational change. So silence has implications both for the organization and for employees working within that organization.
Interesting. And just a question of clarification, does employee silence include just the suppression of information or perhaps also half-truths, not necessarily disclosing all the information to a manager?
We define silence as any intentional suppression of information that might be useful to the organization. So even a half-truth where people don't share full information when it is useful would probably be considered silence according to our definition.
Okay. Well, in the paper you talk about something called procedural justice climate. Can you explain what that is? How does it relate to employee silence?
Procedural fairness climate is said to exist in a work group when a majority of employees in a work group feel that the manager makes decisions that include employee input and decisions that are ethical, that are consistent over time based on accurate information and suppress any bias. We hypothesize that procedural fairness climate provides a favorable context for employees speaking up. That is, we felt that work groups where a majority of employees feel fairly treated, those work groups will probably be more conducive to speaking up than where a majority of employees feel unfairly treated. Specifically, we felt that when procedural fairness climate is high, more employees will feel respected and believe that their participation in decision-making is sought and valued by the authorities in the organization. Hence, in such a context, we felt that reluctance of employees to speak up might be much lesser.
Mm-hmm. And just to delve a little bit deeper into the types of behaviors that managers should watch out for when they are thinking about establishing a climate of procedural justice. What are the types of things managers should do in order to establish such a climate?
Like I was saying before, there are a few things that, few rules, as they call it, of procedural justice that managers need to follow. One, they need to be ethical in making their decisions. They got to be consistent over time. You know, they shouldn't make a certain kind of a decision at one time and then later change their parameters for making a decision later. They should strive to make their decisions based on information that is accurate as far as they know. They should allow employees to contribute to that decision-making process by allowing them to provide inputs before the decision is made. And also later, once the decision is made, the manager should try to ensure that if there's something wrong that comes up later, you know, those decisions are correctable. And finally, and importantly, the manager should ensure that the decisions are free of any bias, you know, so that they don't actually give advantage to one group of employees or the other group of employees. If managers follow these rules, then research has indicated that procedural fairness climate might emerge in a work group.
Well, what other types of factors influence employee silence besides procedural justice climate?
In this study, actually, we looked at various factors that beyond procedural fairness climate that might affect employee silence. First, we felt that employees are committed to their professions and value their occupations and their work highly are those who would be less likely to remain silent. We also felt that, you know, employees who are psychologically identified or psychologically attached with their work units would also be more likely to speak up about work issues that are important to the success of the work unit. And finally, we felt that the status of the manager, you know, often might have an important influence on employees' decision to speak up to the manager or not. Specifically, we thought that employees would be more reluctant to speak up in front of managers who hold high power and status in the organization.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is because we felt that employees might be afraid to approach such managers because of the chances that these managers might interpret their expression of work-related concerns as direct criticism of their own practices and policies. So in this study, along with procedural fairness climate, we also examined these three other factors.
Okay. Well, how did you go about studying these factors and how they affect employee silence?
To test our theoretical model, we selected a context where silence is considered very important or very detrimental to an organization. And like I mentioned before, hospitals actually are an interesting context to study silence. There was actually a recent influential report by Institute of Medicine which has said that almost as many as 98,000 Americans die each year due to avoidable medical errors. These are errors such as administration of the wrong drug, surgery on the wrong side, or accidental drug overdose. And these errors, people say, often happen because of the tendency of nurses to remain silent about unsafe conditions that they observe at work. So essentially, even when nurses observe a physician doing something wrong or observe that there are certain conditions which are not conducive to proper safety of their patients, nurses are said to observe what they call a code of silence and often don't speak up strongly about their concerns. And we thought that this was an interesting context to study silence because of its importance there.
Mm-hmm.
And we tested our hypothesis by sending out a survey to a large hospital in the Midwest. And our analysis is based on around 606 surveys that were returned to us.
So from these 600 or so surveys that you received back from the hospital, what were the primary findings from your analysis?
What we found was that first, employees who were working with high status and powerful managers were more reluctant to speak up in front of the managers. Second, we also found that in general, employees with high level of commitment to their professions or identification with their work unit are less likely to remain silent about important issues at work. However, when we did some further analysis, we found out that commitment to professions or identification with work unit was only effective in decreasing silence when the work unit had a procedurally fair climate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, unless a procedurally fair climate existed, even employees who are committed to their work units and their professions are not willing to speak up at work.
Interesting. So what are the practical applications then for organizations?
First, managers need to be cognizant that employees are often reluctant to approach them with their suggestions and opinions, especially if they feel that the managers are really powerful and have high influence and status in the organization. Second, managers, if they really want to encourage employees to speak up, it is important that they create an environment where procedural fairness is prevalent, where employees see that managerial decisions incorporate feedback of employees are seen to be ethical and bias-free and consistent. Those are pretty critical if you really want to encourage employees speaking up at work.
So, Subra, what is the bottom line for managers?
The bottom line is simple. Managers got to know that even the most engaged employees will not speak up with their ideas, opinions, and cons unless the managers seem to be fair and even-handed in their interactions with them.
We've been talking with Subra Tangarala at the University of Maryland. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Subra.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.